Lord Jesus, on this day, we remember your life. We remember your torture. We remember your agony. We remember your death. And on this day, we look forward to your resurrection. As we reflect today on the price that you paid for our salvation, I pray that you will speak clearly to our hearts and to our minds, and that you will bring challenge to our wills that want to live for things other than yourself. We pray these things for the glory of your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. As I've been reflecting over these past few days, preparing for this Holy Week and Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, I had three thoughts, three points of reflection for today. The first is that Jesus' death had a purpose. We don't just gather to recognize that Jesus died. That's a historical fact. We're not here to simply acknowledge that. We are gathered here because Jesus' death had a purpose. It fulfilled a purpose. And for that, we worship him. For that, we gather as his church. Because without the purpose, it was just another man dying. The purpose was given to him by God the Father, as Jesus was God the Son. His life had a purpose, to be that once and final sacrifice we heard in our reading from Hebrews. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all, because the other sacrifices didn't do the job. This was the once and final, the purpose for Jesus to die. He had to die to take upon himself your sin and my sin. So Jesus' death had a purpose. I hope you'll take these scriptures. I hope you'll read them again, that you'll reflect on them, on that purpose. I hope today, before you leave, you might take some time to wander through our chapel where we have some reflective stations for this Holy Week, to reflect on that purpose. My second point of reflection is that the purpose for Jesus' death had a cost, and it was significant. As he was the final sacrifice, abuse was hurled upon him. This morning I took some time to read through Matthew's account and Mark's account and Luke's account and John's account. And what struck me as I thought about that today was the reality that when you are struck, whether slapped or punched, there is a reaction that you have as a human being. When it comes unexpected, there's a reaction. I can recall in inner city Philadelphia in 1988, I was a young white man ministering in a black neighborhood, and I wasn't welcomed by some. And in the midst of one conversation, I suddenly realized my ear was ringing. The guy that I had been interacting with suddenly punched me. And I was so shocked, I fled. We all have that reaction. When you read the accounts, we read that he was slapped when he was in the presence of the high priest. He answered him, and then a guard slugged him. What's our reaction? We cry out. Why are you doing it? We fight back. Jesus did not. When they put the crown of thorns,
when they put the crown of thorns on his head, as it was digging into his scalp, they beat on it with sticks. We read, they blindfolded him and struck him and said, "Prophesy, who hit you?" So he couldn't see the blows coming. And yet, he didn't react the way humans did. Does that mean Jesus wasn't human? Absolutely not. Jesus was entirely 100% human. He was also entirely 100% divine. But he was human. He should have reacted. The purpose for Jesus' death had a cost. And when you reflect on that cost, I hope the Holy Spirit will remind you. It will impact you the way it does me. That each of those blows was meant for you. And he took it. He took it for you. Now, my third point of reflection is the question, how did he stand firm in the Father's plan? In the garden, he cried, "My God, if there's a way, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." There was a moment he acknowledged, "I don't want to do this." He was sweating blood. He was anxious about it in his humanity. But he submitted entirely to God's will as those events were set into motion. But how did he stand firm? How did he not fight back when they were slugging him and he couldn't see the blows? That doesn't even touch the scourging. That doesn't touch the rest of the torture. How did he not strike back, react, flee? I believe a large part of that answer can be found in the last instruction that Jesus gave his disciples before he was betrayed. It's recorded in Matthew and Mark and Luke. And what is that last instruction? We read it in church on Sunday as we read Luke's account of the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives, where Jesus rose from prayer. He came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping?" And here is that last piece of instruction. "Rise and pray, that you may not enter into temptation." Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Matthew and Mark said it this way. Jesus said to them, "So you could not watch with me 1 hour?" Verse 41 of Matthew 26. "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation." The same phrase, "enter into temptation that you may not." Watch and pray. Mark says it the same thing. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Does that mean you will not be tempted? Does not. Jesus gave the instruction, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation." I believe that's where Jesus was able to stand firm in his divine purpose, in his fulfilling of God's plan. He was watchful and he was praying. He was in communication with his Father. He was asking for help. He was dependent, not in his own strength, but on the Father as he walked that path. He was watching and he was praying. I believe if the disciples had heeded that, all of the disciples were in the garden. I'm not sure if they all heard that instruction. But we know Peter, James, and John were right there with him. They were the ones that he was talking to. If Peter, who had heard that instruction, had spent the rest of the night watching and praying that he would not enter into temptation, perhaps the denial might have looked differently. He wasn't able to maintain the watching and the praying. I believe that's an instruction that we can hold on to today and every day. That's an instruction that enables us to live our resurrected lives. Because we don't stand today where the disciples were, shattered, broken, and confused. We know the end, that Jesus is risen from the dead. That death could not hold him. But how do we stand firm? How do we follow him? I challenge you to reflect on that last instruction this week and in the days to come. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.